Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge-watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Happy Monday, everybody. We are just kicking. This is our first in a series of Nightlights. Look at the week as a mini-series of Nightlight Radio. I am Pete Schwabba, your host. Great to have you with me on this Monday evening. Got a fun show for you guys tonight. I know I say that every night, but I'm not a liar. I wouldn't say it if it weren't true, right? Conrad, I mean.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. I'm just glad you're still here. Fun show. Got a good friend of mine who is a film producer named Bob Brown. He's a Michigan-based film producer. He made a film called Escanaba in the Moonlight with Jeff Daniels. It made a ton of money. We'll talk to Bob at 8:35. I'm sorry, at 7:35. And then in the second hour, Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joins us to talk about some articles he wrote. That Chris just writes great stuff. He wrote about the Milwaukee Film Festival. He did an article on whether or not the UP should be part of Wisconsin or Michigan, which I thought was pretty interesting. So we'll talk to Chris about that. And then he's as up on TV and film as I am typically, maybe even more so because he gets paid to do that. I guess I sort of do too. I have a special guest in the studio right now who I'm hoping can help me intro the show. Aaron Carano. Aaron, how are you?
It's a really, really tall ask.
Well, listen, man, you're a radio guy. You were in radio.
I am. Yeah, I am. Still am.
And a Green Bay guy. You lived here.
I lived right down the street.
Yeah. So it's like a homecoming for you.
Little did I know I'd be working out of this. The building didn't exist back then because we talked about this the last time I was on. It was the department store.
Isn't that crazy? This was the Port Plaza Mall, right? Wow. And you said the Schreiber Building, I think, was part of that too, right? I thought it was all along the river.
Here. It was all of this. Well, I'm like pointing to it as if the listeners can hear me. You can see what I'm doing. It was the whole thing. Even all around here were the different anchors of the mall,
yeah.
The department stores.
That's where we came. When I was in high school, I went to Mariner Catholic Central. We moved up there when I was in junior high. This is where we would come to the mall. They had the Green Bay Pants Company. It's like, what? It's not a Gap. It's like just the Green Bay. And they had better food at the food court. Like, this is like where it was all happening.
You know, but they still have really great places around here. Al's Hamburger right down the street. Yeah. I think it's Angelina's. The Italian is right over there.
Oh, yeah, right.
And a lot of these, I mean, this is still the entertainment downtown part of the city. So we've got a lot of good things going on.
It's a beautiful area. Welcome back to your semi-adopted hometown, I guess you'd call it. But it's great to have you here, man.
It's like walking. It's like walking in the old neighborhood. It's like taking a walk in the park.
Is it safe?
Around here?
Safe, right?
Yeah, it's fine.
I just walked to my car, but it seems safe.
I don't have the best part about coming in to talk on your show versus I usually come in on mine and the mayor when I'm done, and it's all the managerial stuff. They're like, oh, that guy's here again. But when I talk with you, it's like, oh, I get to be the radio person, and I don't have to plug the meter.
Yes, after six, baby. That's where it's
so
at.
So good.
That's why we like having you here, just so we don't want to have to make you pay for parking. And we got distracted. So here's what we're going to do, Conrad. As much as it is nice having Aaron here, we did not come up with a question for tonight.
Yeah, we did.
Because we got to jawing and having fun. So in the next couple minutes, the three of us will come up with a question for the night.
Deal.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to text in, we did this a couple weeks ago and it worked really well. If you want to text in your idea for a question, you can do that at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. As you know, you're always welcome to text in, no matter what we're talking about, and join the fun. Conrad is here to take your calls. You are here, right, Conrad?
I mean, you can see me
now
clearly.
I can see you because you moved the monitor.
Yeah.
So you ready to take some text, buddy?
I always am.
Tell people how they can watch the radio. That's exciting.
So we're on Facebook under WGBW and under Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On YouTube, we're under Civic Media, and on Twitter, or X, or Twix, we're under WGBW.
Twix.
Yes.
Todd Alba, I think, came up with that, right?
Yeah, Todd did come up with that.
Todd's always got a creative mind, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he does. And I don't like to give him credit, usually, because he thinks he's so big. I just wanted to talk like Homer, and that's one of the few words I can say. where I sound like Homer. Hey, we got a polka anniversary coming up too, and Amanda is looking into getting a live polka act in the studio, which I think would be fun. Historically, I'm not a huge polka fan, but when you're up close and you're there, it's so much fun.
Do you have a favorite polka band?
Yeah, the Kenosha Kickers. Maybe you've heard of them.
Are they really? Are they?
No, that's John Candy's band from Home Alone.
Oh, yeah.
They were good, though. They sold, 623 copies of a Polka Polka, I think was the name of this. Yeah. Polka Polka. I do like, it's fun when you're like at a high school basketball game or something, you know?
They're going to say Happy Schnapps Combo.
Is that a
Remember
band?
Them?
No, I don't. I love
aren't they?
That name.
I believe so.
Oh, that's a great
Happy
name.
Happy Schnapps Combo.
That's a great name. Are they still around?
I don't think they're making new music. Oh. I don't think so. Like,
okay. Well, we'll find somebody. And if you're listening and you're from a highly acclaimed polka band, if one so exists.
Growing up, I think it was the Jerry Schneider Band.
Oh, that's
somewhere
a great
in Sheboygan
band.
County, Fond du Lac County.
I love that.
If you're listening on WISS, you've got to probably know the Jerry Schneider Band.
Would they still be together?
Oh, they have to be. Firemen's picnics depend on the Jerry Schneider Band.
I love it. Well, we'll work on that because I think it's April 23rd is National Polka Day. So we'll figure that out. And then today is National Laundry Day. Did you do laundry today, Aaron?
I did not.
No, me either. Remember when we were talking about speaking of Todd Alba, we were talking about our superpowers? No, what are you the MacGyver of? That was our question. And Todd, I don't remember what Todd said. He was the MacGyver of probably coming up with phrases like Twix or whatever. But I said I was the MacGyver of making laundry last one more wear. Like turn it inside out, smell it, you know, get by, put a sweater over it. That's my laundry day. And Aaron, you and I were talking about you're a fan of The Bachelor or not?
I pretend that I'm not, but I find myself dabbling.
Interesting.
And watching, and I'm sucked in every single time I watch. Golden Bachelor's the other one, right?
Yeah. And that's
I heard
one.
About. They got divorced.
So tragic. I thought they seemed so happy. I can't even say that was a dream. You're going on TV looking for love. The divorce rate is like twice what it is. And you don't expect people to stay together, but there was a guy today who's from Wisconsin, Nick Vile, who is judging the Golden Bachelor. And he said he thinks the guy's either hiding something or he said maybe Jerry Turner isn't as golden as we think. Like totally casting aspersions on his brethren. But this guy, Nick Vile, was on The Bachelor, the Golden Bachelor, not the Golden Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and then some other iteration of The Bachelor. He's gone on three times. Could not find love, and he decided to marry a woman 20 years younger than him. And he's judging the Golden Bachelor. I don't know.
You go on the show three times. That's impressive.
And you come up broke? Yeah.
Usually you end up on Match after that. Match.com, and it's over. That's it.
Yeah, hasn't this guy heard of Tinder? Are you on Tinder?
No.
No? Me either. I'm married, but...
you could be.
My wife encourages me. She encourages me to go on Twitter.
Oh. There's a question of the night, right?
You know, there. Exactly. And are you a Van Halen fan?
Oh, yeah.
They got a book coming out. Alex Van Halen has a book coming out about his brother. The two of them, they were immigrants from Amsterdam. I did not know that. And they came over here, had a really hard work ethic, I guess. And they all lived, I don't know how many of them there were, but they were like an 800 square foot house. And they just became Van Halen. It's just a great story. It's a great immigrant story, you know? So that book comes out October 22nd, the book about the Van Halens. And what else? Are you watching anything good?
You know, I was told that I had to watch, is it Top Chef? Is that the show that's being or was filmed in Madison, Milwaukee, and Door County?
I couldn't remember if it was filmed here or if they had someone from, but there's one some connection.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
So I thought they were filming, I think they were filming around here because I was told that the episode coming up this week is based on the farmer's market around Madison. Now, I could be wrong.
Oh, nice. That's kind of cool.
I could be wrong, but I'm not, I don't cook. So I watch these shows like hoping for a glimmer of inspiration, you know?
To make you want to cook?
To make me want to. And I did Home Chef this week.
What's that? What do you mean home chef?
Yesterday?
Like you cooked
the meal preparing the meal prepared box, you know, the boxes that come to your home. Meal delivery.
Oh yeah.
The kits. That's about as good as I do.
That's not too bad. Those are pretty healthy though, right?
Usually.
I think those are pretty good. Yeah. I don't do the reality thing that much. I got to be honest. But I know Matt Miller, I think it was a big Top Chef. He's been on the show a couple times, like within 2 months. And both times I asked him what he was watching, and he said Top Chef. Like he was still into it. So it must be good. And if you like to cook, I think you like seeing all the food imagery and that kind of stuff.
Was that the original one? Because there's been a lot of shows that have spun off from, you know, like there was one or two cooking shows back when Netflix was first.
Right.
In our TV, in our living rooms.
Yeah.
And then slowly there were one-offs, right? And then there's more. And then there's the one about the cakes. They make
cupcake
cakes.
Cupcake Wars.
Cupcake Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if this is the original one or if it's, and it's going strong or if it's not, but.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I don't, I gotta tell you, I watched a really good movie this weekend called Leroy, Texas with Steve Zahn. You know who Steve Zahn is? He's the guy from, he's the guy from that thing that did the thing about the what the heck. You know him if you saw him. He's a great actor, but there was a scene in the movie. He plays a PI, and I'm totally putting this on my list for all of you to check out. It's a really fun movie, and I think it's free if you stream it. They're bracing this guy to get information out of him. Steve Zahn is a PI, sticks his head in the toilet, like in the Big Lebowski, and he's telling him to tell him what he knows. The other guy he's with says, "You can't do that, man. You're going to kill him." He goes, "No, people can hold their breath for like up to 2 minutes." And as he's doing that, the guy goes limp. So they pull him out of the toilet. The other guy comes over, resuscitates him, you know, CPR. And the guy spits up water. Steve Zahn sticks his head back in the toilet. Same deal. He goes limp. They pull him out, bring him back to life again. I was on the floor. It was one of the funniest scenes I've seen in a movie. It was great.
We'll watch it at the break.
We'll watch it at the break, and we'll solidify a question at the break. That's what we'll do. Aaron Carreno is here, folks. Civic Media compadre who is checking things out here in Green Bay. It's great to have him in the studio. Conrad's riding shotgun. We are looking for a question. We'll have one after this unless we get a great suggestion that comes in, but we'll let you guys know what that is. Coming up next, if you still want to suggest one, 855-752-4842. This is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. So the question is, how many times will you wear your clothes without washing them? That's our question tonight.
Who wants to start this off?
I mean, no judgment, right? There's just phone numbers. We don't have... Conrad, how many times have you worn that sweatshirt without washing it?
Person.
He's John Q. Public.
I really wash everything. I'm a clean freak when it comes to that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were blushing because maybe you were going the opposite direction, right?
This is my ninth time with no t-shirt.
I wash everything after it's been used at least.
Just
once? Just once, yeah.
Wow. That's got to add up, though.
I do a lot of laundry. Yeah, I do.
How much is it for a load of wash over there?
It's nothing. It's in my apartment.
Vista. Oh, you got in-unit mm-hmm. laundry.
Yep.
Look at you. God, I didn't have in-unit laundry when I was his age.
I haven't had that. So
crazy.
This is the first time.
Are you ready for this, Conrad?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Ready? Pete, when was the last time you washed that pair of pants you're wearing right now?
Full disclosure. These are my pants I never wear underwear with. So this is the first time. I'm joking. This is the first time I've worn these pants. But this shirt, I'm on probably round 4 or 5. I always wear a t-shirt with
Fine.
It. And I always smell it before I put it on, you know. So, you know, I don't know. Here, while we're on the subject, guys, this will be fun. So that's our question tonight. Let us know what you guys think. How many times will you wear your clothes? What's appropriate before you wash them?
Underwear is a non-negotiable, though. That has to be every use.
Yes.
Every use.
For me,
you could turn them inside out. No, I agree.
Are you sure you haven't watched
this? Listen, am I going out in public or not? Because I got to be honest. I'm just going out to pick up the yard. I'm not burning a fresh pair. But, if I'm going to be around people and civilization, yeah, I'm definitely. 855-752-4842. Let us know what you think. What is the appropriate amount of time to wear your clothes before you wash them? It is National Laundry Day, ladies and gentlemen, so I would love to hear from you. Here's another thing. I'll take this a step farther. Deodorant. There is an anti-deodorant movement, and I will say I've sort of bought into it. Like, I'm coming here today. I'm around people. I'm wearing deodorant. But if I'm not leaving my house all day or the general area where I live or I don't have a meeting or whatever, I skip the deodorant. I do. Because supposedly there's aluminum in deodorant. It can cause dementia. That's what they're saying.
Is that what it causes? That's
sure.
I mean, I've heard,
heard that.
I've heard that too.
Yeah.
But they make now, I've got this aluminum free deodorant.
Is it Lume? Is that what they?
It's Arm & Hammer.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. It doesn't really smell that good. I'll be honest. I kind of like the Old Spice better.
Yeah. I go Menon.
Conrad, are you rocking the Old Spice or?
He doesn't wear deodorant. That's why he has to do laundry every day.
No. I use Harry's. I really like their stuff.
That's fancy.
This guy's got expensive.
Wow. Well, I mean, Old Spice is really expensive now, too.
First the in-unit laundry, now the Harry's deodorant.
Wow. That's good. That's going to eat up a lot of your expendable.
Old Spice costs.
Old Spice is nothing, dude.
I mean, Harry's is the same price.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I feel better when I put deodorant on, but I really do read those studies, and it kind of freaks me out. When you start
without a doubt
smelling like Daryl from The Walking Dead, it's time to maybe throw on some deodorant. I don't know. It's interesting. So this has turned into like a hygiene lesson, which is fine.
The only deodorant I can't wear is the old, like when my dad had the old stick deodorant with it flaked off and it would involve your clothes.
Yes.
That stuff sucks.
And the spray. Remember the spray? Like you would spray Axe? Aerosol. Oh, Axe. I guess Axe is, but that's like a body. That's not really a deodorant, is it?
It's spray though.
But you know, there are people who wear cologne in lieu of deodorant. Like they think that's an alternative to deodorant. And I'm like, no, that's like it's like the icing on the cake. You don't skip the deodorant and put on High Karate or Dracar or whatever.
You deodorant and then you do a little spritz.
Yeah.
If you want.
Correct. Huh. That's interesting.
All right.
Well, I would say I wear jeans like probably 4 or 5 times before I wash them. Unless I'm out, like, I love seeing, like, when you go by a playground, you see the pickup games, the guys wearing jeans. It's like, to play basketball, to hoop. I would never do that. But those I would wash. But no, I do 4 or 5, maybe shirts, 2 or 3, depending on how active I was.
Shirts are a little different. I feel like there's more sweat opportunities with shirts.
Totally.
They stretch out a lot.
Absolutely.
But pants, jeans, I think we can go longer.
I'm sure, yeah. I just have this like...
Unless they stink.
Right. And there's a lot of different reasons a pair of pants can stink. What is happening here? All right.
Show's off the rails.
Conrad's looking at me like, is this Nightlight? What? Yeah, it's called going with the flow, Conrad. This is something your generation needs to learn. So you used to do radio here, Aaron.
I did.
Tell us, you were a music jock, right?
Yeah, I was... This is a really great radio community. It still is to this day. I mean, how exciting is it to have Mino and the mayor here? So I used to work with John Mino on WIXX.
Gosh. Wow.
And that was my first radio job. I did overnights. They have live people on the station. I'm all for that. That's how we get our talent in this industry,
that.
Right?
Yeah. And it's cool just knowing you're listening to a real person like at 2 in the morning.
You can engage with them. Cool. Yeah. Right? Text with them. So I worked with John and that's how and then I worked before that. I was a community service, I think they call them community service officers now, but they called it something different back then, for the city of Green Bay, because I had a law enforcement degree. So I met Mayor Schmidt at the time through that. And so when I changed gears and went into radio, then I met John Mino. And so my roots here from living here, going to school here. Yeah. I mean, talk about what goes around comes around, right?
No kidding.
Full circle.
That's hilarious. And you had no idea those two one day would get together
and do a show.
Do a show.
It's wild.
It is wild. So they have so much fun in the morning. And it's funny that John lives in the building because I'll be in the middle like of an intro and John will just walk in and come in and sit down. Like he came in here once. He's been begging me. He's been saying, you got to put me in your next movie. You didn't put me in your last movie, whatever. I'm like, John, I'm not really, I don't have anything on the docket right now, but I'll keep your resume on file. But he came in here and he showed me his, what was it, an acting certificate from the University of Arizona. And he comes and he goes, just wanted to show you this, buddy. Look at that. What do you think of that? And he's, I'm like opening the show and he's like in my face about the thing. And then he just put it down and left. He left it here. He didn't take it with him.
He's in the apartments like right here, right?
On the premises, yeah.
If you haven't been here, I mean, this is a pretty intricate area.
Oh, yeah.
Living where you can live, work, and play here. I mean, it's great.
Absolutely. Although, and there's a new coffee shop going in next door, and then the store, I think they're converting that. That's still going to be a store, but they have new owners coming in or something.
So. Oh, I'll be here bright and early tomorrow morning. So,
yeah.
Hey, Pete, always glad to see you. I appreciate you, too, you having me on.
Hey, man.
Conrad, you too.
Anytime. I mean, you're sort of my boss, so of course anytime. You can just come in here and do whatever you want, frankly. Next time, please wear pants. But it fell into the conversation tonight. So, no, it was great having you, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, appreciate it.
Thanks for all your support, too. It's fun.
Go grab some deodorant right now. So.
Yeah. We always keep a fresh. Conrad's going to do laundry, actually, during the break. That's how crazy this has gotten. So Bob Brown is coming up next. We're going to talk to Bob about filmmaking and a couple hit movies he's done. Thanks for being with me tonight, folks. You got Nightlight and Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. All my instincts, they return. The grand facade so soon will burn. Without a noise, without my pride, I'll reach out from the inside.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabe anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabe.
So it is National Laundry Day. I didn't make it up. That's a true thing. And our question is, how many times can you wear clothes before washing? That's what we are asking tonight. We kind of piecemeal the question together, Conrad, if I'm not...
I still think it's a good question, I believe, you know.
It's National Laundry Day, so we need to know. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. We got some good texts already. This is Jim from Appleton says, that varies greatly depending on what the article of clothing is. A winter coat, that is 3 to 5 layers away from the skin twice a year. Wow. Jim washes his winter coat twice a year. I don't think I've ever washed a winter coat.
Wait, are you being serious?
Why would I wash a winter coat?
At least wash it once.
You're a little anal retentive. We've just learned that you will do laundry like every day. Jeans 2 or 3 days unless something is spilled on them. Outer shirts, same. Inner shirts daily. Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Jim. Well done. From the 920, former Green Bay Packer Jarrett Bush was on the show today, and John Mino said he smelled great. We found out that he wears cologne called Creed. It's like $500 a bottle. Yeah, I can't shell out that much for cologne. I don't wear cologne anyway. But if I did, I'd probably go like, I got some old High Karate from the 70s. I'd throw that on. Steve, Conrad's dad checking in from the 920. Rule of thumb, change the underwear and t-shirt every day. Since the bars and restaurants went smoke-free, pants 3 to 5 times, shirts 1 to 3 times, depending on weather. I can roll with that.
Yeah.
That's your laundry role model there, Conrad. And I think you've done well to represent that. Okay, so coming up in the 8 o'clock hour at 8:35 from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Chris Foran joins us to talk about whether or not the UP should be part of Wisconsin, what's going on at the Milwaukee Film Festival, and all kinds of fun stuff. But right now, I'm very excited to welcome our next guest to Nightlight. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. He's a very prolific filmmaker. And he had kind of an interesting path into the film world, and I want him to tell that story, and that's why I'm having him on the show. Bob Brown joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Schwabe. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How is Michigan tonight?
Pardon me?
How's Michigan tonight?
Michigan is great.
Yeah.
It's just getting dark. It's a beautiful day today. We had 65 and sunny all day.
Isn't that great?
But listening to your weather forecast, I'm sure it's going to get cloudy and mucky a little bit later on for us.
No, I'm fully expecting.
But it is great.
We'll still get a snowstorm that'll bring us 2 feet of snow at some point before it gets really nice out. So that's just.
No.
That's you don't think so? Happen.
Not this year.
Uh-uh. Bob is also a meteorologist, ladies and gentlemen.
I already washed my winter coat and put it away for the year. So
you're way ahead of me. Years ahead of me. I just buy a new coat.
Right. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. It's like that that old Rich Seidner joke. He says, his girlfriend says, where are you going to put your towels when he moves into a new place? He says, my towels. I got one towel. When that one's stiff, I buy a new one. Bob, this is so much fun having you on the show. I've been trying to get you on for a while now. Yeah, you're very welcome. And you have some projects I want to talk about with you. But if you don't mind, first, tell the listeners how you found your way into the film industry. It's not a typical story, and I think it's kind of cool. Yeah. I've always been kind of fascinated at your trajectory. So would you share that with us?
Sure. Be happy to. So I was midlife. I think I was 42. Had spent 25 years or so self-employed as a financial planner, but I also had a second life. I was a serial entrepreneur as well. And I had heard through the grapevine that the actor Jeff Daniels had his own little theater company in Chelsea, which is a small town just west of Ann Arbor. And I happened to pick up some tickets and went to a show and ran into him in the lobby, introduced myself, and we started chatting. And fast forward 6 months, we were having lunch in downtown Chelsea. And I looked at him and I said, so I don't mean this with any disrespect, but I don't understand acting. He said, what do you mean? I said, I just don't get it. Like, to me, it doesn't seem like it's enough because, you know, you just go, you show up, you do your thing and you leave. You have no idea what's going to happen. You have no control, you know, whether it's good, whether it's bad, you know, it's, you just throwing caution to the wind. And, you know, he laughed and said, yeah, that's pretty much it. And I asked him the question, what do you want to do? Do you want to do anything other than act? And he said, yeah, I want to make a movie. And I go, really? How do you make a movie? And he said, well, you know, I've been in 30 of them, but I don't have a clue how to make them. So my serial entrepreneur head started spinning. And I looked at it and I said, well, you know, isn't it just kind of like a manufacturing process, only instead of a widget, it's a subjective piece of intellectual property? And he looked at me strangely and goes, yeah, I guess. And then...
check, please.
I said, well... Yeah, he made sure we were going Dutch too. So anyway, I said, you know, well, it's kind of like building a team and making a product and selling the product, isn't it? And he said, sure. So I said, well, I can help you. I can do that. And he looked at me very strangely, and the first thing he said was, well, we're not using my money.
Right, smart guy.
I said, yeah, okay, we can handle that. And so that's kind of the way it started. And then I'd say maybe it took us a year or so to put together our company. And one day I asked him, so now that we're partners and we're going to be filmmakers, do you have any idea what movie we're going to make? And he said, did you ever see a play that I wrote called Escanaba in the Moonlight? And I said, no, I've never seen that play. And he said, it's a comedy. And I said, oh, okay, let's make that one. So that's how the decision was made that we were going to enter the feature film business by creating Escanaba in the Moonlight. And it took, I think, probably about a year and a half total by the time we put the company together. I raised the money, and wow, then we were off to Escanaba, and we shot that cult classic that is so well known in the great state of Wisconsin.
It really is. I mean,
I know
what you guys did, I think, is so brilliant because you already kind of had a following with the play. Didn't you tell me when you released the film, people went to see it over and over because they just liked the story so much. And the film was well done too, but like, people just love the story.
Well, the deal with the play, which I didn't really know that much detail about it, but his theater was in trouble financially, as most small regional theaters get from time to time. And he wanted to write a comedy, and he had gone to Marquette to visit his in-laws. And they said, it was during deer season, and they said, well, come on out to deer camp with us. And he said, no, no, I'm not interested. And he said, no, just come on out. So he went out, and they spent a few days at deer camp. And he's not a deer hunter. And he met the cast at this little deer camp. You know, Jimmer Nagamani from Menominee.
Love it.
He was a real guy. And so Jeff said, you know, I listened to this guy go on and on and on for 2 days. I didn't understand one word the guy said, you know, for two full days. And he, you know, he drank anything and everything that was put in front of him. So that was the seed for the play. And then the play did very well for the Purple Rose Theater. And then other theaters picked it up, and it just became this, you know, cult classic blockbuster for small town regional theaters. And so I knew that that was based on a play. And the strange thing about it is, you know, this is my first movie. It was his first movie as far as writer director is concerned. And you're piecing this thing together in the middle of Escanaba, Michigan, in the middle of the winter. And so you have no idea whether it's going to work or not. But the best story, if I can continue. The best story is, Jeff was represented by ICM in LA, and they, of course, wanted his movie. And they took one look at it and said, we don't know what to do with this thing. And it was awesome. It was so good because I was talking to all these people. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was talking to all these people about buying the movie. And everybody said, well, you have to change the name. You have to change the name. You have to change the name. I said, we're not changing the name. It's not going to change. We're going to keep the name. And like it or lump it, that's the way it's going to be. And all these guys from California would call me back, and they'd go, yeah, we're calling you back about this little film that you made called, what's it called? Escondido in the Moonlight.
Conrad just mispronounced it before, too. He's like, Esperanza? What is this?
Conrad, shame on you.
Sorry. I'm sorry about that.
Shame. So anyway, so they quickly threw it back in our lap, and we didn't know what to do. And the good news was, because I didn't know what I was doing and Jeff didn't know what he's doing, we actually didn't go over budget. We came in under budget.
Yeah.
So I raised a couple $1 million to make the movie, and we actually made the movie for about $1.5 million. So we had $500,000 in the bank. And I just went to Jeff and said, hey, listen, you know, why don't we just release it ourselves? And he goes, well, you're going to do that? And I go, yeah. He goes, because I'm not going to do that. I go, yeah, I know. But I'll do it.
I'm doing the new Keanu Reeves film. I don't have time for that.
That's right. So, oh, he loved that one, let me tell you.
Yeah.
They promised him he wasn't going to get killed off.
Oh.
I don't think he made it 15 minutes.
I'm adding that to the questions. Okay, proceed.
So anyway, so we took this money and we did the whole, you know, back in the day, you did the whole dog and pony show. You did the print advertising, you did the promotional tour, you know, you did the PR stuff. I mean, and we were bopping around, but we only had enough money to make 27 prints, you know, six can film prints.
Right.
And to do this entire campaign. So I found 27 movie theaters in Michigan that would allow us to open on Super Bowl weekend of 2020.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, 2000, in 2000. Yeah, there we go, 2000. And we did the whole, you know, drove around, flew around, went to all the radio stations, did the whole thing. And so the movie's going to open on Friday night, and everybody was going to fax me. the grosses on Friday night when they closed. And so when I went into my office on Saturday morning, I grabbed the faxes. They were all face down. And I turned over the first one and said, congratulations, we sold out. We want more prints.
Wow.
And they go, oh my God, wow, that's great. And I turned over the next one. Oh my God, we turned 1,000 people away. We have to, we got to get more prints. You got to give us, so we can open more theaters. So all 27, you know, we're the same. And so it's the best day of my film career. And I called my wife and I was literally crying. I was crying because of the stress, but I mean, I was crying. And she said to me, "Are those tears of joy?" And I said, "As a matter of fact, they are." So we crossed $1 million in gross in 10 days in Michigan alone.
For a little independent film. That is insane. Yeah.
Well, in my proudest moment is there's a thing called screen average. So that's the average revenue that each screen you has that generates. And there was a little movie that Tom Hanks did called Castaway that was killing it at that time.
Yeah.
And we knocked them on their fanny and bopped him right out. And that's what got us national attention. So Variety called, you know, and the Hollywood Reporter called because nobody knew about this stupid little movie. And we ended up being one of the top 200 highest grossing films for that year. And I'm staring at the little article in the Hollywood Reporter that I cut out and had framed as we speak. And so that's what got my film career you know, moving forward. It was Escanaba the Moonlight. And the thing is still a cult classic. It still moves titles or still moves all the time.
It's so great because everyone, like I say, I'll say to people, yeah, I'm working on a project with a guy who did Escanaba the Moonlight. And they always go, Jeff Daniels? And I'll go, no, Bob Brown. But they're still excited. Like they love the movie so much. The producer they've never heard of gets them excited too. Right. So we're going to talk more with Bob Brown about his film adventures, and there have been many, and they're all pretty cool. Great to have him with me, and great to have you with me here on this Monday night. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. We'll be right back with more Bob Brown on the Civic Media Radio Network. National Laundry Day. What a day. It's not as big as Arbor Day, but it's a big one, folks. And our question tonight is, my phone's going crazy. National Laundry Day. How many times can you wear clothes before washing? What is appropriate? Love to know what you guys think. Got some good text so far. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tom from 414 just said, Pete Love. Conrad, what do you make of that?
Maybe he's saying, I love that you don't wash your coat.
Maybe. Doubt it. Tom continues, Pete, if you can handle your own smell, go with it. Eventually, you will wash. That's what I've been saying, Tom. I'm with you. I love it. My guest right now is Bob Brown. He's a filmmaker, and he has made such films as Escanaba in the Moonlight, The Trouble with Dee Dee, Super Sucker, and a new one he's got coming out called Grounded. Bob, we were talking about Escanaba in the Moonlight and how thrilled you were with the numbers when you released it yourself, which just doesn't happen, it seems like, anymore, where people put out a little film and it comes back gangbusters financially.
It doesn't. I mean, it happens, but it's an anomaly.
Yeah.
And the whole, I don't know how true these statistics are now, but 10 years ago, you know, the statistics were that every year 20,000 people, 20,000 Pete and Bob sat down and said, let's make a movie this year. And of the 20,000 groups, only 4,000 actually made a movie.
Yeah.
And then of the 4,000 films that were made, only 400 got a theatrical release. And of the 400 that got a theatrical release, 95% of that box office was taken by the studios. So, you know, it's definitely uphill sledding. And you and I have talked, obviously, for years and years and years, but the challenge is the distribution side. I mean, the challenges are insurmountable in so many ways,
right,
you know, for independent filmmakers. But, you know, if you actually get to the point where you have a finished product, you know, which is where we're at with Grounded. Now I'm out, you know, pounding on the doors and making the phone calls and trying to get people to, you know, give it the love and respect that it deserves. And, you know, we make these movies for a fraction of the cost of a studio film, but still, when you're trying to recoup on, you know, a theater ticket or a VOD rental or, you know, whatever the case may be, even in Escanaba, we're still selling DVDs. You know, I think it's because Deer Camps only have DVD players in them. But, one by one, the money comes back but it's definitely a challenge. There's no doubt about it.
So I want to talk about Grounded with you, Bob, because that's your new film. We'll get to that. But I've met two guys. I have a writing partner named Greg Liano. We've sold some stuff together. We've been very fortunate. But his first film has a similar story. He wrote Meet the Parents as an independent film for $50,000. And it just became this huge thing in the independent film world. So that was his friend Emo Phillips writing him a check and saying, go do whatever you want. And then now he's got a hit movie and he goes into the studio offices, and that's not how it works. So you also came out of the gate with a big hit your first time. Is that a blessing or a curse or a little bit of both?
Good question. I think that it's a little bit of both because, what your audience may not know is that Jeff and my sophomore effort, which was Super Sucker, was the antithesis of what Escanaba was. So,
oh wow, yeah,
you know, so where we knocked it out of the park on the first go round, on the second go round, you know, I wouldn't quite say. In fact, I remember having a conversation with Jeff, and he goes, "Well, how do we do?" And I go, "Nobody went." And he goes, "What do you mean, nobody went?" I go, "Nobody went." And he goes, "Well, what do you mean? Nobody went." I go, "Jeff, nobody went. The door to the theater did not open. Oh, no man. One went." And he was like, "You got to be kidding me. How could that possibly happen?" He was thinking, "I'm Jeff Daniels." He didn't say it. He didn't say it, but that's what he was thinking.
It's your fault. That's what happened.
That's right.
Oh, man.
So, that's just the way that. Yeah. It goes and really now the idea is to have a better understanding of what the market wants and what the market needs and know what the obstacles are from a distribution point of view, so that no matter the size of the film you're making, you know, you can answer those objections.
Yeah.
Right from the jump, so that people will look at the movie and at least you'll get a conversation going. As opposed to, not our cup of tea, and then walk away, you know. And as you well know, and I know, it starts with the script, and the script's got to be, the script's got to be awesome. If it's good, it ain't good enough. And if the only people that like it are people that love you, it ain't good enough, you know.
Yeah.
It's got to be, you really have to vet it, and you really have to, you know, I think good scripts say good to great takes 40 passes at least. 40 passes.
Yeah. My guest is Bob Brown. He is a filmmaker, Michigan-based filmmaker. And you have a new film, Bob, coming out called Grounded. First of all, tell us where we can see. Can you hang for a few minutes, Bob?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool.
Sure.
So before we get into Grounded, tell people where they can see Escanaba in the Moonlight. Because as you said, people are still finding it, and it's still a really fun watch.
Well, Escanaba in the Moonlight is still pretty much all over the VOD world. So you can find it...
Video on demand.
Video on demand, right. You can find it on... all of the VOD providers, which is, you know, Amazon or Apple or help me out, Pete. You know them better.
Prime,
than I do,
Hulu, HBO, yeah. Vudu,
yeah, right,
Tubi,
right, Vudu, Tubi, all those places you can find it. And here's just a little bit of a little sneak peek of the life of a filmmaker. If you go to YouTube, I'll bet you $100 that you can find the full movie on YouTube, only because I've taken it down off of YouTube 50, 60, 70 times in my life. And it just keeps popping up there because people like it so much. But,
that's awesome. Now you just, but if you want to just put taking money out of your own pocket.
Yeah, if you want to screw the filmmaker, go ahead and go to YouTube.
All right, we're going to talk about Bob's new film called Grounded next. Disclaimer, there's two Schwabas in it. That's what happens, folks, when people get desperate to find actors. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. More coming up next with Bob Brown on the Civic Media Radio Network.